610 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. A vote is not likely in the Senate today as the government shutdown drags on. Democrats pushing for talks to extend key health care premiums and holding marathon speeches on the floor denouncing Trump administration policies. ABC's Selena Wang says furloughed federal workers now not getting paid.
Lawmakers, they're continuing to get their paychecks, but their staffers are not. They missed their first paycheck on Monday, and federal workers are set to miss a paycheck this Friday.
North Carolina Republican leaders have completed the remapping of state House districts today. Those maps approved by the state Senate could give them one more seat in the midterm elections. It is the latest state to revisit congressional maps after President Trump urged Texas to take it up. Missouri followed. California voters will decide whether to redraw maps that could gain Democratic seats. Dating app Tinder announced it will now require facial recognition verification for those wanting to sign up and look for a match. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers has signed a pair of bipartisan bills aimed at bolstering EMS services. According to a press release, the bills aim to reduce financial barriers for residents pursuing a career in the field and increase the Medicaid reimbursement rate to reduce the financial burden for local governments and providers. Under the new laws, the Wisconsin Technical College System Board will award grant funding to technical colleges that offer an EMS program, and the Medicaid reimbursement rate for ambulance responses will increase to $175. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers says the state's food share program will run out of funding within the next 2 weeks due to the ongoing federal government shutdown. According to a press release, the food share program receives all of its funding from the federal government. Without that funding, nearly 700,000 Wisconsinites who rely on the program may lose that assistance. The Wisconsin Department of Health Services is also encouraging residents who use food share to ensure their contact and mailing information is up to date. Rice Lake area residents are being invited to a few Halloween events beginning this weekend. The Rice Lake Main Street Association will host a trick-or-treating event in the downtown area on Saturday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Cedar Mall and Cambridge Senior Living will also host their own trick-or-treating events for area kids on Saturday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. On October 31st, Dove Healthcare in Rice Lake will host a Wizard of Oz-themed trick-or-treating event. The organized event are meant to give area families a safe place for their kids to fully enjoy the holiday. Xcel Energy officials are warning residents of a notable increase in their natural gas prices this year. According to company officials, residential natural gas customers will see their monthly bill increase by about 15%. For the average customer, the rate hike will see their natural gas bill increase from about $112 to about $129. Xcel Energy officials say about half of the increased cost is due to the higher cost of natural gas, and the other half is a result of an increase in infrastructure and other related costs. For WBZH and WHSM News, I'm James Kelly.
Bucks basketball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks begin their 58th season tonight in Milwaukee when they host the Wizards. Their new center, Miles Turner, says they've had a new level of energy preparing for tonight's game.
This past week of practice has been very intentional. I mean, I think it's been really good. Guys are talking up, making noise, just talking back and forth and whatnot. And I think that's how it's supposed to be, especially throughout the year. You know what I'm saying? We're intense in practice. When it makes the games that much easier.
NFL, the Packers at practice for Sunday night in Pittsburgh. Matt LaFleur downplaying the matchup against the Steelers quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I don't even know if many of these guys played with him. So, I mean, there's a few guys, but yeah, I think that's just for you guys. I'm going to talk about, just like we do every week, what is our blueprint and what are our keys in order to go to Pittsburgh, which is a damn good football team and a really tough, hostile environment, and try to play our best.
That's Matt LaFleur with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers for your Wednesday afternoon. Plentiful clouds at mid-40s, northwest winds to 25. Tonight, showers ending. Clouds stay with us. Lows near 30. Thursday, partly sunny skies and mid-40s of the late day. A northwest breeze. It's 42 at our studios.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Conrad has restless leg syndrome where it's hard to control your leg, and you got to be careful. There's a lot of expensive stuff around this studio. So, Con? What broke over there just now?
A couple speakers.
They just redid the studio. We'll be dealing with... Oh, my God.
Sorry.
This is a serious thing. All right, what are we going to do here?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Maggie Dawn.
Governor Evers has sounded the alarm. 700,000 Wisconsinites might lose emergency food assistance. We discuss with Amanda Martinez and William Park Sutherland of Kids Forward. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Allbush Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Allbush.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Allbaugh along Mr. Aaron Zommer is our producer and engineer. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Hump Day.
That's right. Welcome, everybody. Made it midway through the week. Glad to have you along with World Headquarters, intersection of State and Fairchild, a beautiful downtown Madison. Nice day, a fall day. Very fallish day, breezy. As my grandparents used to say, raw out there. Blustery winds and chilly. But it's fall. It's fall. So we're all good. Zommers, how you doing today?
Doing all right. You know, got the fall allergies in full swing.
All right.
Yeah. So that's not super fun. No. lots of sneezing.
You
lots
could
of
have salivary
blowing.
Stones.
God, I hope not.
I don't wish it upon anybody. No, it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful day. Before I forget, shout out to our good friend. The only person that's known me longer than my mother is Rob Wheat, because our mothers were in the maternity ward together, and I was born on October 21st. He was born on October 22nd, so I'm the old man of the pair. So happy birthday to Rob Wheat today. He and Scandan Jeff Daniels and I went to see that new film, No Packers, No Life, at the Marcus Theater here in Madison. Second time I got to see it. Great film. Encourage people to get out and see it if it's find where it's playing on MarcusTheaters.com at least another week. So go out and see it in theaters. No Packers, No Life before it disappears. It is Wednesday, and as per usual, we check in. What if it's blustery up on the Lake Wissota? We'll find out. The host of Mornings of Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 across this fine network, Mr. Pat Kreitlow, joins us from the banks, the shores of Lake Wissota. How are you?
Happy birthday to you. Am I on time? Am I late?
No, you're fine. So, thank you. I appreciate that. You're in voice. I am not.
I welcome you to the Septuagenarian Club here. Trigby and I welcome you in.
Thank you.
You've always been the youngest of us all, and yet mentally far and away the oldest.
Due to your wisdom,
of course.
So
happy birthday!
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, it's odd to be on the downside of 50 now, at 56, rather than the upside of 50. But hey, better 56? Than the alternative.
56. Yeah. You punk! All right, let's move on.
Speaking of Kreitlow, mentioned him. He also joins us from his a home in the suburbs of the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the Tony suburbs, a former Republican like myself from beautiful River Falls, Wisconsin, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Mr. Trigby Olson. Trigby, how the heck are you?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
I'm okay.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I appreciate it. He does not sound. You sound a little tired. Are you okay?
Nah, I'm fine. I'm just, I've got a little bit of a cold or allergies thing going
on. See, last week it was his back. This week it's his cold. And people think I'm older than him. Excuse me? I mean,
no.
Geez, Shady exactly Acres right. Called, man. They're waiting for you.
I know.
Well, I'm glad you're here. My voice is still these goofy salivary or what is it, Somers? I always forget.
Salivary.
Yeah, salivary gland
stones. Salivary gland stones. It's a real thing. So I've got kidney stones. I've got salivary stones. I don't have any gold stones. But anyway, the line from Gypsy.
Well, you got everybody shows. Must get stoned. Can you play a little Bob Dylan in honor of that?
I mean, sure, we can. Dahmer's
stones everywhere.
Yeah. Dahmer's can.
There we go. There.
That's great. There you go. From the great little Palest. All right.
So much stonage.
By the way, all right.
We just had to get to that line.
Okay,
that's all.
Got it.
Yes.
Did you guys see that? Well, what was it? It's been months ago now, but the Bob Dylan movie when it came out?
Yes.
How was it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. And I don't know a ton about Bob Dylan, but I know it was a nice little film. Showed us what a quirky guy he is from the very beginning. I don't know if I'm going to see the Springsteen one.
That's what I was going to ask, because I was in the theater last night to see No Packers, No Life and the big trailer, and I really want to see it.
You know, things are always kind of hit and miss. Like, remember the one about Freddie Mercury came out, and then like a couple of months after that, the one about Elton John, which was a little bit more of a hit and miss. And so I'm going to wait till I hear more about the Springsteen one first.
Are you a Springsteen fan, Trigvy?
No. Not particularly, but I do want to go see that movie. I respect Bruce Springsteen. I think it just was never really my cup of tea, mostly because it was my high school hockey coach, Scott Dickmeyer's cup of tea. He was from South St. Paul, and he used to blast Cadillac Ranch and Born to Run and all kinds of Bruce Springsteen every morning at 5:30. As you guys know, I don't talk before 10 o'clock, and listening to Bruce Springsteen so loud to get us to yell for the puck was more than I could take.
This guy barely talks by 3 p.m. It's
That's true, too.
That is true. All right, well, guys, a couple of topics here to cover today. In a moment, I want to get to something that Pat Most, he's actually a legit journalist. I kind of dabbled around the edges, but I want to talk about the student newspapers at Indiana and also in Pulaski, Wisconsin. But before we do that, I want to get both your thoughts. And Pat, let's start with you as a former Democratic state senator in the state of Wisconsin. Interested in your take, and I won't, just the quick synopsis for those that might not have been with us yesterday. We had a reporter on, Danielle DeClose from the Capital Times, who had a story that ran in the Cap Times on Friday, and it focused on the Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction, and in particular, Superintendent Jill Underlie. Over 200 cases of teacher sexual assault grooming cases, not all quote-unquote teachers, some were aides and support staff. And the thrust of the story is that it was, in the Cap Times opinion, difficult to get some of these records. And secondarily, the disorganization, my word, within DPI of keeping track of this, and that some people were allowed, even before they were criminally charged or the allegations were proven, to stop the investigation, they were allowed, and apparently it's under state law, you can turn in your teacher license to stop the investigation. But then in the records at DPI, it does not say why you turned in your license. And there's concern that should those individuals be known why they turned it in, to prevent them from working with children in the future. And that Dr. Jill Underlie refused to sit or take up the invitations from the Capital Times to sit for this interview. And then Friday, after it was published, Underlie, and we read some of this yesterday, her response was to basically take a page from Trump and attack the reporter and attack the Capital Times and say they got it wrong. And she still won't accept the invitation to talk to the reporter. I know we've asked her, not in this specific case, but she used to come on our program. She no longer does. Back in April, she refused to debate her opponents in the campaign where she got reelected to the state superintendent appointee, or the position. And now coming up tomorrow, there is an assembly hearing they're asking under, they don't have subpoena power like Congress, but they're asking her to testify. And what I'm hearing is that she is leaning towards not appearing. That's a long setup, but Pat, I'll shut up now, let you talk. From a Democratic perspective, I'm, there's the whole story and the tragedy of the allegations here. Some have already been proven. But to me, it's about the lack of transparency with this DPI superintendent and DPI in general from simply telling us what's up and defending it.
Yeah, and I can really only comment on that part of it. I will admit not being, you know, fully informed on the substance of the initial report and the allegations. And so any comments I made would be more about basically finding out more about this. What do top officials at DPI know, and when did they know it? And when this topic came up briefly yesterday, and I heard that Jill Underly declined interview opportunities, I thought that was a potential mistake, that it might have been a matter of wishing the story away and, you know, not talking to a reporter who's got some serious questions about an investigation they're doing. Rarely is that the best advice. And the one thing that makes it worse, if you don't talk to a reporter who's genuinely trying to get to the bottom of the story, the one thing that's worse is having to go sit through, you know, a kangaroo court of a committee hearing once the politicians jump into this. I would love to tell you that every legislator on this committee would have only the best interests of the children at heart and to further a quality education, but I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that half of that room won't have the long knives out and, you know, do a whole bunch of filibustering that if you're Jill Underly, you know, if you don't have to sit there, why would you sit there? So it's always easier to talk to the reporter first, even if the answer is, I don't know. I'll look into it and I'll get back to you.
Agree with what you said about some of the folks in this committee are just going to use it for political opportunities. I said this on this show as well, that now, in my opinion, by not coming forward and being transparent, you're giving Robin Voss, the Republicans, a greater stage on which to manufacture things and vilify public education as if that needed to be done anymore. And what disturbs me the most is just this lack of transparency on her part,
right,
and the lack of coming forward.
Right. And look, in 2010, when I was running for re-election to the legislature and lost, one of the things that, you know, remember, just prior to Act 10, mm-hmm. there were all kinds of criticisms about teachers' unions and protecting their own and everything. And I recall speaking to an educator group, and we could see where the tea leaves were in terms of the election that year. And I said something rather direct around the lines of, you guys have to be the ones most willing to expose and kick out the bad apples. Mm-hmm. Because if you just circle the wagons every time, you know, that you're not doing anybody any favors. And I say that because my advice now to Dr. Underly and others would be, to the extent that you know about the bad actors, the things that are, you know, that you can prove and everything, you had better find a way to make sure people know that they are not going to be put in a position around children any further. If you look like you're circling the wagons, all I can say is heaven help you.
Yeah. And I just don't, well, Trigby, I know you're not intimately informed about this story, but just as someone who worked in political communications, from a communication standpoint, it just, to me, it doesn't make sense why your boss wouldn't want to, or why a boss, an elected official, wouldn't want to be in front on this and trying to drive the narrative.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, at the end of the day, not answering makes it look like you have something to hide. Right. So even if the answer is, I don't know, I'm not sure. The reality is, I agree with Pat's point 100%. Right. Like if the teachers union is rallying the wagons, right, circling the wagons, and you have her basically saying, I'm not going to talk to a reporter, and a friendly reporter at that, from a friendly news source, probably, it ends up looking like there's more there, whether there is there or not. Well, and I mean, whether she thinks it's a foolish argument or, you know, like you know, ridiculous is neither here nor there. She's losing in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, their office claimed, her spokesperson said they had $600,000 to address this, and it got turned down by JFC, the budget committee. My analogy was, well, hey, so did the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, and they immediately went to the public and said, we need a standalone bill on this. Why wasn't Underlay and DPI out in front saying, okay, we didn't get the money at joint finance, but this is what's going on? That part I don't understand. We'll come back, talk more about this and local news with Pat Kreitlow and Trigvi Olsen on Civic Media's Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Matt Nair on air.
He is the executive director of Back 40 Action. Will Westmoreland is here. So, Will, we can't sell our soybeans. There's no market for that. But Brooke Rollins, Secretary of Agriculture, says it's all great. What are you hearing from fellow farmers?
Well, Jane, we are the world's leader in one department of agriculture now that Donald Trump is president and Brooke Rollins is Secretary of Agriculture, and that's word salad.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Join me, Tom Hartman, each and every weekday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program right here on Civic Media. I talk about the issues that all Wisconsinites can get behind, from unrigging our economy so it works for all of us, not just the billionaire class, to improving our representative government, to delivering on the promise of we the people. Tune in middays right here on your local Civic Media station from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for the Tom Hartman Program. Tag, you're it.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'd rather go and journey where the diamond crescent's glowing, and run across the valley beneath the sacred mountain, and wander through the forest.
You ever go camping in the North Woods? Any woods, as a matter of fact, Wisconsin, on a crisp fall day, you have a campfire. There's kind of that smoke rising through, and the smell of dried leaves and a fresh cup of coffee. And the sun's coming up, and you think, see, this is what Wisconsin's about.
You get and that. Then you wake up, and you realize it's overcast, it's dreary, it's windy, there's a wind chill out here. Why did I let the kids talk me into camping in this tent? Why didn't I waterproof the tent? Yeah, there's the fantasy, and then there's the things that happen up there.
I was
sometimes
setting it up to say that's what it's like listening to Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9. Yes. It makes you
yes,
feel
like
better.
It's overcast and rainy, and you wonder, why did I even do this to begin
no,
with?
That's not at all.
Spot on. Yeah.
Not at all. Not at all. Let's make sure we have time for this, Patrick. What do you have coming up on the show this week you like to plug? Make sure people listen between 6 and 9.
Oh my goodness, that assumes an ability to have a memory longer than a goldfish at this point.
All right, we'll give you an opportunity at the end if you want.
Yes, we will. Right. We will have our usual gang, and that includes Chad Holmes from our station in Wausau. Sean O'Malley will be talking a bit about crypto, the state of Wisconsin's investment board, betting big on crypto, making a killing, and then getting out. You know, high risk, high reward, I guess.
Yes.
And of course, Joe Specky will be along, and he was quoted in that, shall we say, interesting New York Times article yesterday, all about all the people who don't want Mandela Barnes to run for governor. And anybody who heard our show this morning, and the clip was already on TikTok and everywhere else, Earl Ingram heard me talking about that. And let's just say he went off on the New York Times reporter who was supposed to call him but didn't for that story. So for that, go back and listen to us as a podcast on Spotify. But we'll have Joe Specky on tomorrow.
There you go. That's a tease. That's a plug. That's the whole deal. All right. Perfect. I want to talk about something that I think we're all three of us are. By the way, Pat Kreitlaw and Trigvi Olsen join us here via StreamYard today. The news, newspapers, the importance of local news. First, quickly to a national or a regional story, and then here in Wisconsin, a story about Indiana University orders the school paper to cease print edition and fires the director of the student media. Indiana University orders student-run newspaper, the Indiana Daily Student, to cease printing a news edition, a new editions, and fire the director of student media, who also served as the paper's advisor. University's directive to halt print editions came just hours after the director was terminated in a letter. Pat, I think this is just another example of Trumpism leaking into suppression of free speech.
I guess, although I feel like I need to know a little bit more about it and what is it that is leading to these accusations of potential censorship. But if it is anything like that, it would be extremely troubling. And Indiana being a red state as it is, it wouldn't be as surprising. It would be much more surprising to come out of, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota, something like that. But, you know, again, it is in keeping with the times. There are simply not that many people out there anymore who want to defend a free press.
This comes from The Guardian, by the way. Thank you. I should have said that up front. TheGuardian.com. It says, in recent weeks, there have been disagreements between the university leadership and the paper's board and the advisor over what content could appear in the print paper, according to the Indianapolis Star. Trigvi, someone who's fought against authoritarianism in Eastern Europe, I don't know. I just think I'm one of these people that thinks a free press is probably good for democracy.
Yeah, I think free press is good for democracy. Kind of like Pat, I don't really know the details of it. I'm actually skimming a story on it right now. It also looks like they had some financial challenges, but it does look like the guy was let go for not censoring articles that the administration didn't like. I think that is a problem of the world that we're living in, right? Everybody wants to own their own truths, and they get on when you have political extremism. I say this often, right? Like there's four steps: psychological distress, acceptance of simplistic answers, overconfidence, and then ultimately intolerance. And what we're seeing all across the country in various ways is intolerance. And that intolerance knows no color, although it certainly is Trumpism has definitely thrown gasoline on the fire. And then you see it at places like universities. That's the way these things work. Everything becomes, you got to be on red team or blue team.
IU
alum. The rest of us are stuck in the middle.
IU alum and graduate, your buddy Mark Cuban came out calling out his alma mater for doing this. Maybe you get Mark to throw some money towards the paper like he did for Cignetti for the $90 million contract for football.
This is the thing. If Cignetti were to come out and say no more money for football over this.
Oh, yeah, right.
I'm pretty sure the advisor would be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that is the unfortunate reality too that we're in, is you have a very small subset of people who give large monies to the universities who have an extraordinary amount of sway over those universities. Now that being said, if you want to impact them, those are the people that you got to get to make the case.
Yeah. Pat, we'll get more into this on the other side, but there's a great story at Wisconsin Watch on this student newspaper, the Pulaski News is called, in Pulaski, the high school, where students have been filling this local void for news for a long time. I think that's pretty cool.
It is cool. Keep in mind that, again, you're always going to have students who aspire to be storytellers, to be reporters. They're young. They don't know that the business model for news gathering is completely and hopelessly broken at the moment, because there's always going to be the need for that investigation. So like in the case of the Indiana paper, they, as I'm seeing now, they cut it down to like 7 editions. They were just supposed to be about special events, about homecoming and special student guides. They wanted fluff. No, we need information more than ever, especially from young aspiring journalists with good faculty leadership.
Absolutely. One of those young inspiring journalists who is now a full bird journalist, been for many years, Pat Kreitlow. You can hear his journalism. So you can hear his entertainment, his This Day in Music History, as long as people don't. What do they do his honors? They axed one of the songs. It was terrible.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
But you can hear it every morning from 6 until 9, a morning to Pat Kreitlow. Thank you, Patrick. Have a great day.
Thank you, guys.
Trivia on the other side. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You're listening to 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's home to the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
You want to talk giant pumpkins in Wisconsin? There is an entire group of growers dedicated to capturing the title. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in Food and Farming News on a Wednesday. More stories about how giant pumpkins are grown in the state. That's on the way next.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
This year, Jim Ford, a giant pumpkin grower from Fond du Lac, actually ended up topping the competition with his pumpkin that weighed in at 2,491 pounds. He's not alone when it comes to trying to grow those giant pumpkins. Thomas Motzma is from Brandon nearby, and he's been growing competitive giant pumpkins for over a decade. And he said, while you may be impressed with the size, it takes a lot of time and effort to get them that big.
And then they'll go out in the garden late April to early May, all depending on, you know, what kind of spring we have. A lot of growers now will put them in mini, mini tents or mini greenhouses, 5x10, 10x20. And then before we set that, we'll have hitting cables usually dug in the ground. And then they get transplanted outdoors, like I said, late April, early May. And then they get the TLC from the greenhouse until they get big enough where the greenhouse will have to be taken off.
Thomas Motzma from the Brandon area explaining a little bit more about the dedication that has to go in to producing the giant pumpkins you're hearing about at this time of the year. He said, in Wisconsin, the giant pumpkin growers are always working towards a pumpkin that weighs 3,000 pounds or maybe better.
At Steffes Auctioneers, we don't just sell, we guide. Knowing what your equipment or land is worth isn't just a number, it's clarity. It's the first step in making smart decisions for your future. That's why we offer honest, market-based valuations with no pressure to sell. Just insight you can trust. Start with the conversation or start with the valuation. Steffes Auctioneers. We don't just sell, we guide. Not sure where to start? Let's talk. Visit steffesgroup.com right now. That's steffesgroup.com.
Maybe you've got one of those giant pumpkins we were talking about. We'd love to see a picture. You can send it to us through our brand new Midwest Farm Report app. Download it. Available for both Apple and Android. Midwest Farm Report. And start using and interacting with us today. That's a look at food news. I'm PM Yonke.
The Buzz of the North, 96.9 WBZH, Hayward's real news and great conversation, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Some showers for your Wednesday afternoon, plentiful clouds at mid-40s, northwest winds to 25. Tonight, showers ending, clouds stay with us, lows near 30. Thursday, partly sunny skies and mid-40s of the late day, a northwest breeze. It's 42 at our studios.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review, joining us. Going to talk to the Milwaukee Public Museum about special things for Halloween and all things sports with Paul Noonan.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Favorite performer by any girl dad in America. Making birthdays better, Katy Perry there. Trivia Olsen happens to be a girl dad. Joining us from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C. every Wednesday. Former Republican like myself, now a senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, Trivia Olsen. You went to Katy Perry, right?
I did. And you know what happens when you go to like a Katy Perry concert?
What?
Post a picture of your daughters for them to find years later on Facebook.
What
you learn things like the fact that Katy Perry is apparently dating Justin Trudeau.
Yes, that's true.
It's really more information than I wanted to know, and why it's on my Facebook feed, I'm not quite sure.
And then there was a post, and I mean, Justin Trudeau is a pretty smart is a pretty smart politician. There's a paparazzi picture of him on top of on the main deck of a boat, a yacht, something, shirtless, but with jeans on. And then Katy Perry is like in a bathing suit. And people are saying, oh, you know, look at that. I mean, that had to be set up, right? I mean, you don't do that if you're
not.
I
don't know.
I think
they had to know the paparazzis were probably there.
Exactly.
I mean, it's foolish. It's like there was this post, excuse me, a paparazzi picture of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift on a beach, and people were ragging on how they looked.
Right. It's like
they don't look like they're very fit. And I thought, really?
I know. You've been to both Katy Perry and the Taylor Swift concert with your daughters. You can't. I mean, you were there. I've seen like Garth Brooks concerts, Kenny Chesney concerts. These people who are actually entertainers and performers that go on for two, and in Taylor Swift's case, almost 3 hours. You don't do that unless you're in great shape, right? I mean,
oh yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, Katy Perry's show was weird, I thought, but whatever. Not my cup of tea. Taylor Swift is a showgirl, pun intended.
Right.
Like that was it was pretty good. It was, you know, when
she's
we walked out.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we walked out, Kaya said to me, "That's the greatest concert you've ever seen, right, Dad?" And I'm thinking, it's not Guns N' Roses and Motley Crue in '89, but I might have been using some medicinal improvements, I guess, that I wasn't using at Taylor's.
David New Berlin listening to us. Yes, I turned 56 yesterday. He says, I'm 55. When you were 19 in 1989, I was 18. Anybody that was anybody was rocking a mullet in 1989. Well, Dave, that just goes to prove I was nobody, because I was not rocking a mullet in 1989. I had feathered hair in 1989. Back when I had hair.
In the 80s, the mullets were... I had a mullet in high school.
Did you really?
Yeah. Everybody had a mullet, yeah.
All right,
it was awesome.
All right, let's
work in the front, party in the back.
there's a party going on out in Washington, D.C., at least for somebody, the Trumpster, Donald Trump, taking time to tear down the East Wing of the White House, which I find particularly disturbing, Trigvy. You've worked for high-level people out in D.C. You spent a lot of time out there. You live out there. Am I right or wrong that regardless of past presidents who may have done remodels or whatever, additions, doesn't that have to go through like a congressional or historic building committee? I mean, you know, you don't have Truman just saying, oh, here, let's do this.
Yeah, actually, ironically, I think Harry Truman did actually revamp the White House.
No, I know he did. That's why I said that. But I don't think he just woke up one day and said, "Let's do this."
You would think that there would be more of a process than there seems to have been with this. That being said, I don't know the answer, and so I don't want to.
All right, fair
enough. I can think of certain governors of the state of Wisconsin who they themselves or their wives unilaterally decided to start changing around the governor's mansion. So I don't know. That's a little bit of a gray area. I do think like the Rose Garden stuff.
That was sad. It was
I understand it's sad because it wasn't acknowledging the history of the Rose Garden. Mm. That said, I also kind of get the thinking behind it. I mean,
how so?
I just think there should be more of a process. The Rose Garden?
Yeah.
I mean, having been in the Rose Garden, I mean, the Rose Garden was really cool because it's the Rose Garden, but the Rose Garden also was very Franklin Roosevelt. Esque when you were actually in terms of practicality for today. So,
but do you think it should be like Mar-a-Lago's front porch? He literally put umbrellas there the same as Mar-a-Lago.
I get that. That's why I think, you know, there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. We talked about the remodeling of the state capitol because I was in the state capitol and I remember thinking all the controversy around that, right?
Well,
and yet when you go to the Wisconsin state capitol today, it's amazing, but it wasn't like Tommy was unilaterally making the decisions about how that was going to work, right? Like they had a whole bunch of people to restore it. And that, I think we're saying the same thing. By the way,
Casper watching on YouTube says the Rose Garden that doesn't have roses anymore, right?
Yeah, that is true. They could have, that is right to the point.
Casper says it looks like a patio at Applebee's now.
Right.
He's 100% right.
There's a right way and a wrong way to do these. There's a right way and a wrong way to do these things. I don't think this was the right way to do it. And I will tell you, ironically, the people defending it to a degree, if it had been Joe Biden ripping up the Rose Garden.
Or Barack Obama.
Making it look like the Delaware Shore or what's
Chicago's
the thing?
Shore,
The pier in Chicago, right. People would have gone bananas. The same people who are defending it now. And that's the bigger point. That's why there's a right way and a wrong way to do it.
My former boss sat on, a committee in Wisconsin called SCURB, the State Residents and Executive Board. Or the State Capitol Executive Residence Board, they has to go. Any remodel at the governor's residence has to go through this board. And when Scott Walker came in, Tonette wanted to change the kitchen and some other things. And she came up, and the first thing that Tonette Walker did, honest to God, I was there in the meeting, she tore out the handicap ramp at the front entry of the executive residence because she thought it looked ugly. Screw the people in wheelchairs. I'm taking out the ramp.
Right.
So there's that.
I mean, that gets back to the right way and the wrong way. I mean, the reality is there is a middle ground that can work for everybody on these things. And, you know, in theory, it's Donald Trump is a guest in that house. But he sure seems to be going about reconstructing it as though he thinks of himself as a long-term occupant.
All right. That brings up our next topic here.
A permanent occupant.
A permanent occupant. much more serious things. I mean, not that this isn't serious with tearing down a wing of the White House and building an extravagant, gaudy ballroom. But I think there is something more newsy here. And that was at the Oval Office yesterday in the White House. Trump, during a presser, came up that I'm not sure exactly what question it was from the reporter who brought this up. But it gave Trump an opportunity, as he does, to go off on a tangent, and kind of unprovoked, he goes on the fact that his Justice Department now is thinking about paying him, Trump, a settlement for what he claims are damages during the investigation of January 6th. Here's Trump yesterday.
Her question to you, because the New York Times is reporting that your legal team is seeking $230 million from your own Justice Department now in response to the investigations into you.
It could be.
Is that something you want your legal team to
do? I don't know what the numbers are. I don't even talk to them about it. All I know is that they would owe me a lot of money, but I'm not looking for money. I'd give it to charity or something. I would give it to charity, any money. But look, what they did, they rigged the election. And as you know, we had, in one case, 60 Minutes had to pay us a lot of money. George Slavidopoulos had to pay us a lot of money. And they already paid, you know. They paid me a lot of money because what they did was wrong. And, you know, when somebody does what's wrong. Now, with the country, it's interesting because I'm the one that makes the decision, right? And, you know, that decision would have to go across my desk. And it's awfully strange to make a decision where I'm paying myself. In other words, did you ever have one of those cases where you have to decide how much you're paying yourself in damages? But I was damaged very greatly, and any money that I would get, I would give to charity.
Donald Trump yesterday in the White House saying that he has to make the decision whether to pay himself $260 million of damages in his mind for being investigated.
Well, wait,
for his...
it's not damages.
Well, that's
it's
what he's claiming.
Money.
That's well, yes, but I'm just saying what he's claiming. But there's
but
a lot
you
of
need
disturbing...
to frame it as what it is. It would be taxpayer money.
Correct.
Now, I would say this to any listeners that say, yep, he was damaged. His legal fees, he should get damages for what's been done to him. My question is, if Jim Comey, if that case is thrown out, or John Brennan or any of these other people have their cases dismissed, whatever, should they be compensated for damages?
Right. With
taxpayer
money.
Would you agree that they should be caught with taxpayer money? Because you can't logically say that Donald Trump should be compensated if you do not believe that any of those people should also be compensated if that happens.
Well, I agree with what you just said.
And what would their answer be, Todd?
They said, well, absolutely not.
Yeah, they would be. Well, what about? Yeah.
The other part is just disturbing. I'm no lawyer, but I think any basic person could say the President of the United States is not supposed to be making decisions for the Justice Department. And the President of the United States does not, quote unquote, sign off on perceived or real damages to individuals that the government pays out. That comes from other people. And the fact that he's saying that he makes this decision is just another indicator to me, Trigvi, although you've actually worked against authoritarians, that this guy views everything as his.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The U.S. government, he believes, is his. Yes.
It's not only Republicans
that is how he sees it.
Thinking this is not a problem. It happens to be a Democrat as well. This is U.S. Senator John Fetterman, Democrat of Pennsylvania, on CNN, asked about this yesterday.
And you even represent Eagles fans, I take it as well. One final question, Senator Fetterman. The president yesterday seemed to acknowledge that he's trying to get a $230 million payout from the government in response to a couple of the investigations into him. That would be taxpayer money. How do you feel about the president pushing for that?
I hope that's not true. For that kinds of money, that's small ball, and I think we have much bigger problems in worrying about those things. I hope it's not true. And of course, you know, the $230 million should go to paying people's health insurance or other things. That's not a priority I would ever support for those kinds of payments.
John Fetterman talking, I mean, calling it small ball, Trigvi. I just, what happened to this guy?
I think he just gave a bad answer. I mean, not a bad answer. He says he doesn't think that Trump should be getting the money.
Yeah, but
he referred to it. Shows somebody out of touch that he suggests $250 million is small ball, which might get to a part of the problem with people, you know, some of the perspectives of people like John Fetterman.
Yeah. But come on back, talk more. Donald Trump is trying to perpetrate the big lie. We'll play it for you on the other side of the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Businesses across the state counting on $1.5 billion in federal funding are finding out it's not coming. The money had been approved to help pay for energy-saving projects, solar and wind development, technology innovation, and more. The Department of Energy is now reportedly canceling those awards. One group that is getting a boost in federal funding, AI data center developers. The new federal budget lets tech companies claim more upfront tax breaks on data center equipment, facilities, and production lines, and it appears to be working. Microsoft recently announced what it calls the world's most powerful AI data center planned for Mount Pleasant, but environmental groups warn unfettered AI development could cause lasting harm to our natural resources. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you've ever found yourself driving down a quiet back road and thought, this feels special, you might be on one of our state's rustic roads.
The program was created by the legislature back in 1973. It's really a unique local-state partnership.
Officials wanted people by car, bike, motorcycle, or even on foot to enjoy the natural beauty. The first rustic road designated in Taylor County 50 years ago this month.
There's 124 roads that have been designated rustic roads in Wisconsin in 62 different counties, and it spans over 784 miles.
Each rustic road is unique, rolling past farmland through forests or covering rugged terrain. And the speed limit tops out at 45 miles an hour, sometimes even slower. It's not about getting anywhere fast. This slice of Wisconsin reveals sometimes the best part of the journey is the road itself. I'm Terry Baugh.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jamming with you on a Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025. Get all your political jams, all kinds of great information. Subscribe to Trigvi Olson's Substack. All kinds of great information there. Trigvi Olson joins us from his home in suburban Washington, D.C., senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. You can find him at Trigvi Olson. That's TrigviOlson.substack.com. TrigviOlson.substack.com. Always worth a read, always worth a follow. Trigvi, talking about Trump talking to the press yesterday in the Oval Office. One of the things he casually drops out, he's back to, I think I said perpetrating. I got my P's mixed up. He's perpetuating the big lie that the 2020 election was somehow rigged, somehow stolen from him, that Joe Biden actually didn't win, which we know categorically is untrue. It has been proven that the 2020 election was one of the safest, fairest elections in the history of our country, as was the 2024 election. And yet, here is Donald Trump yesterday in the White House.
We're really, I think it's got to be handled in a proper way. If it's not handled in a proper way, we don't want it to happen again. We can never let what happened in the 2020 election happen again. We just can't let that happen. And so the way we go, I know Cash is working on it. Everybody's working on it. Certainly Tulsi's working on it. We can't let that happen again to our country. Look at what's happened where you have millions of people being allowed to come into our country, all because of a crooked election, where they come from prisons, they come from jails, they come from mental institutions and insane asylums, they're drug dealers, the people that they've allowed to come into our country. We cleaned the war.
Donald Trump yesterday in the White House, again, false information that somehow the 2020 election was rigged, Trigvi. I think for me, the more disturbing part is saying that he's looking ahead to 2028. You have concerns about this?
Yeah, I mean, I think you have to take these guys at their word. I mean, if I learned one thing from working around the world with those autocrats, against autocrats, they all are kind of the same guy, and they almost always say what they intend to do. And it may seem ridiculous in the moment, but eventually it becomes their truth. And does anyone have any reason to doubt that Donald Trump probably wants to run again?
I don't.
Do you?
I mean, he has hats in the Oval Office that say Trump 2028.
Right. I mean, exactly. You know. And, you know, so there's always this tendency to describe that, I mean, to explain it away. Well, he was just trolling the Democrats, blah, blah, blah. But in truth, does anyone think that knowing what we know after 10 years of Donald Trump, that he wouldn't want to stay in whether he wins an election or not?
Yeah.
I mean, he's already demonstrated that, which is the reason why when you had people before the election who were dismissing it, particularly some who know him personally, Scott Walker would be an example of this, who say, oh, people don't want to hear about January 6th anymore. They're tired of that. They want to know about the economy. Well, the question back to Scott now would be, they don't want to hear about ICE on the streets. They care about that, but let's talk about the economy. How is the economy?
Not good.
Pretty good if you got Diane Hendricks money and you run some youth group. But
that's good. We talked about this yesterday. Beef farmers are up in arms, a lot of Republicans, because Trump said over the weekend that he wants to bring in Argentinian beef to flood the U.S. market to drive down beef prices. I don't think that does not sit well with beef farmers in Eau Claire County.
Well, how is it working out for soybean farmers, the tariffs in Iowa?
Yeah, not well. Or the soybean farmers in Wisconsin.
You know, but people need to take a deep breath, too. Like, you look at the latest polling that has been coming out, and the reality is there's this desire, well, it doesn't matter what's going to happen. A year from now, the country's going to be destroyed by then, blah, blah, blah. That is true. But what people have to keep reminding themselves is, you know, you're talking about a guy who's at 37% approval right now. He's underwater in all of the swing states. He's underwater in some red states. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is Americans are rejecting this. They really, really are. I mean, they are. And there's
7 million people showed up outside. And we had reports from people on our own staff. Jane Batnair was at the No Kings rally in Milwaukee last weekend. She said she ran into people that said, I'm a Republican, but I'm tired of this.
Yeah. And the way you break these things is it's the vertical underneath no longer supporting. And whether the election itself is free or fair, the reality is the elections will be an opportunity to so overwhelmingly swamp them that it is impossible for them to cheat their way out of it.
Right. And that's the key. People have to show up as much on election day and as united on election day as they are at No Kings rallies.
Right. And they have to be understanding that this battle that we're in is going to be won or lost by not being afraid and by understanding that it isn't about what you think, but the people that are succumbing to Trumpism, that you need to inform yourself and get the tools to be able to have conversations with friends and family, mm-hmm. not avoid those conversations, but actually have those conversations around the dinner table in ways that aren't going to change their mind immediately, but are helping them find within themselves why what they're advocating for isn't in their best interest. You have to help them find the cognitive dissidence. Yeah.
Look in the mirror.
Push
Look
them
in the mirror.
Towards being intolerant towards you. And there are far too many who think it's about what I think or feel and the others are ill-informed. That is not a winning strategy. You don't want to hear that. What you need to do is you need to lead them to understanding.
Agreed. Are you sticking with us a little bit the next hour? You got to run.
Unfortunately, I now have a 4 o'clock call about some of the tools I'm working on.
All right.
I've got
Enjoy.
I'm starting we'll, to hit up against the deadline.
We'll take some
But we'll talk about that right. when it comes out, dude.
Sounds good. Take your calls to the other side. Stick with us. Thank you for now, Trigvi Olson. We'll see you next week. Back after this for Hour 2.
This is the Buzz of the North. WBZH 910 AM. W245 CT Hayward. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Another deadly strike today carried out by the U.S. military on an alleged drug boat in the Pacific waters off Central America. 7 other strikes occurred in the Caribbean. President Trump says the U.S. is engaged in combat with drug cartels, but facing criticism for not providing evidence on the targets. ABC's Matt Rivers has more on the impact.
It's not actually having a huge impact on the amount of drugs arriving to the United States. If you're trying to send a message, if you're trying to make life more difficult for drug traffickers, then of course, yes, there will be some impact to this. If you are a drug trafficker operating in the Eastern Pacific, might you think twice before getting on that boat?
It is day 22 of the government shutdown. Democrats and Republicans remain deadlocked on a fix. Democrats on the Senate floor today holding a marathon speech against Trump policies. Amazon says it's developing smart glasses to help drivers navigate deliveries on foot once they get out of vehicles. The AR glasses are paired with a truck camera to help offer directions and provide hands-free proof of delivery. This is ABC News.